Good afternoon, everyone. It's again a privilege for us to be gathered here today, this afternoon, to be in the house of the Lord and to worship Him. Thank you for those of you who are visiting with us, maybe for the very first time, along with Ronald, who gave the welcome. I extend a very warm welcome to each of you. Thank you for choosing to be with us. And of course, again, we extend to you, maybe if you arrived after the announcements were made or after the welcome, we invite you to remain behind. There's no need to rush away. We are providing not only spiritual food, but we are providing physical food. So you are welcome to remain behind and stay with us and fellowship and take time to get to know those who are members here. So please feel free, those of you who are visiting with us, whether the first time or you're still visiting and have been coming along from week to week. Just also mention that for those who are 18 plus going up, we do have a meeting with the young adults. So we are looking forward to that. We're meeting during lunch. So those who are 18 and plus, maybe the ceiling would be, 35 years old, you are more than welcome to join us. We'll be having a discussion together. So we look forward to that. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, again, we ask. We ask for your presence. We pray for a special infilling of your Spirit. We ask, O Father, that in this place that has been dedicated to you, Lord God, every word, our deportment, our presence, will be to glorify your name, to honor you. Father, we're not just here because it's a weekly routine. We come at your bidding. And Father, we know and claim the blessing that you promise when we come to worship you on the Sabbath day. We pray that, Father, you will speak through your word and through this instrument to all of us, to our hearts. Indeed, O Father, you have a message. The Bible tells us that the enemy of our souls is only interested to come and steal and destroy and kill. But we thank you, Father, that your desire is that we have life. An abundant life. So, Father, here we are before the King of the universe, unseen to our naked eye. We thank you for the presence of angels about us too. And we pray that, Father, our ears, our eyes, and our hearts will be open to hear your word, and that we may be transformed as a result of the word of God like seed being planted in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer. And again we pray, speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. commitment to the church family is the title of our message today. And thank you, Terence, for sharing the scripture with us. Much appreciated. Commitment to the church family. Now, from the inception of the human race, God has willed that the family on earth be in complete harmony as the family in heaven. And so it was with Adam and Eve, the first family, the first church. Adam and Eve were perfectly happy and in complete harmony with each other until Eve was beguiled by Satan through the serpent, and Adam was enticed by Satan through Eve. The first ever recorded dispute that we have between Adam and Eve, the first family, the first church, is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. And he, the Bible says, that's God, said, "Who told you, Adam, that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man, Adam, said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Adam blamed God for creating Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. And since the fall of Satan, it has been his studied effort to divide the family. Ever since his fall, his desire is to divide the family. Now think about it. Think about it. If Satan can weaken an individual, he has divided a couple. If he could divide a couple, he has divided a family. And if he could divide a family, he has divided a church. And if he can successfully divide a church, then he knows that he has defaced the image of God in that church, making the church weak and powerless. Remember that. That is why Paul, in his counsel to the church family in Ephesus, urges the individual members there in their relationship to one another to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this church is one big family made up of numerous family units from around the world. Each family unit is a valuable representation of the church. However, since this family is an institution that is established and ordained by Christ, guess who hates it? There's only one guess. You know, there are two institutions that Satan is very keen to wipe out. And I know you know them. I see some of you already mouthing it. Tell me, what's the first one? Sorry? The Sabbath is one and marriage is the other. The Sabbath and marriage. These are the two institutions, the Sabbath and marriage, that Adam and Eve carried out of Eden with them. And they are the same two that are the very object of our adversary, the devil. Now, speaking of marriage, one researcher comments, and I quote, "Satan hates marriage." Now, this is not Ellen White. This is a researcher. "Satan hates marriage. He hates Christian marriages in particular." Now, why is he saying this? Why is this researcher saying this? That he hates Christian marriages in particular? Listen to what he says. "For believers dramatizing Christ and the church powerfully display the gospel in their marriage." Now, just in case you missed it, let me read it again. "Satan hates marriage. He hates Christian marriages in particular, for believers dramatizing Christ and the church powerfully display the gospel in their marriage." Now, another writer says this. Another writer says this, and I quote, "Satan knows that God created marriage as a beautiful living picture of Christ and the church." We know this, Ephesians chapter 5. "God designed both marriage and the family for our benefit. Satan knows the value of the family, how it is the fabric of a good, solid society. He knows it is the foundation of vibrant, growing assemblies and the future of God's work on earth." He knows this. "And if Satan can be successful in tearing down the structure and substance of the family unit, then he will be successful in damaging what is dear to the heart of God." End quote. That is why, if he could weaken an individual, he has divided a couple. And if he could divide a couple, he has divided a family. And if he could divide a family, he has divided the church. And if he can successfully divide the church, then he knows that he has defaced the image of God in that church, making the church ineffective and powerless. Now, you and I are the body of Christ, coming from all backgrounds and representing different nationalities. Paul, speaking of this to the members of Corinth, says in his first book, that's the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, he says, a person's body is one thing. I'm reading in a different version. A person's body is one thing, but it has many parts. Though there are many parts to a body, all those parts make only one body. Christ is like that also, Paul says. Some of us are Jews and some are Greeks. Some of us are slaves and some are free. But we are all baptized into one body through one Spirit, and we were all made to share in that one Spirit. So God has called each one of us from whatever background we have come from, wherever we hail from on this globe. When we believe in Jesus, which is the only criterion here, every one of us, and I say again, every one of us has a responsibility and is considered a valuable part of this family community right here in Watford Town. Right here. God has brought us here for a reason. For such a time as this. And God has equipped each of us, with a special gift to contribute to the upbuilding of this church and for the upbuilding of one another. And in addition to that, God has called us to make disciples of those who don't know Jesus yet. Everyone here today is valuable to God. And because God values us, we should value each other and function in the way that God has ordained. Whatever that function is. Everyone here has an important role to play in the body. And there is no reason for anyone to feel unimportant in this church. No reason. Or to feel that because we are not gifted in a particular way, that we are less important. I want to stress today the importance of God's call upon us individually. In whatever way he has gifted you, because everyone who is a member has a function, whatever that function is. That's why Paul goes on to say, reading from verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says here, that the body, the human body, has many parts. We know that to be true. Amen? The foot might say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. But saying this would not stop the foot from being part of the body. The ear might say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. But saying this would not stop the ear from being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, it would not be able to hear. If the whole body were an ear, it would not be able to smell. If each part of the body were of the same part, there would be no body. But truly, God put all the parts, each one of them, in the body as he wanted them. So then, There are many parts, but only one body. So, my brothers and sisters, whether you sing or you play an instrument, whether you lift the offering or you greet the people at the door, whether you teach the Sabbath school or you preach the sermon, whether you minister to the children or youth or you ensure that the church is safe, whether you clean the church or you maintain the church, or you minister through the gift of hospitality, whether you are on the audio visual or you take care of the live streaming, whether you lead in the administration of the church or you drive the personal ministries, you may well be the killer T cells of the church that protects the church from the foreign invaders of false doctrine. Or you may be one of those that ensure that the standards of the church is maintained. It does not matter what I am in God's family. I could be the toenail in the house of God, but I am contented, I am satisfied, I am committed because I belong to Jesus and I have the privilege of being part of the body of Christ. Amen. So you are valuable to God. And God is the one that has brought us all together in this body called the Watford Town family. Not as I want it, but as He wants it. Let me say this. There are no insignificant parts of the body. Do you hear me? There are no insignificant parts of the body. Every one of us has a part to play in the smooth and effective running and function of this body. So reading from verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says here, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Sometimes we, as parts of the body, will want to give the impression that we don't need this other person. Paul is trying to drive home the point here by using this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. No. Those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are really necessary. You take out a nail from your finger and you soon know how important that nail is. You let an eyelash drop into your eye, you soon see. Every part that God has created has an important function, amen? Every part. So as Paul says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are really necessary. And the parts of the body that we think are less deserving are the parts to which we give the most honor. We give special respect to the parts that we want to hide. The more respectable parts of our body need no special care. But God put the body together and gave more honor to the parts that need it so our body would not be divided. Now, I am sure that we understand that a very serious medical condition occurs when the body has an internal war. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? I'm talking about autoimmune diseases, lupus, arthritis, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, to name a few. In such cases, the body's defense systems get the wrong message and begins to attack cells, tissues, and organs in its very own body. At least, the very least, a person who is in such a condition is seriously ill and may well die. Likewise, war in the body of Christ is no less serious. Members at war with each other, sending out the wrong message to the body, weakens the church and could lead to its death. Envy. You think it's not in the house of the Lord? Envy. Jealousy. Evil surmising. Pride. Critical, fault-finding spirit and indolence are amongst some of the wrong messages that would lead to the dysfunction of the body in its inefficient running and its subsequent death. Let us open our eyes, my brothers and sisters. Satan is at war against this body because he knows that if he can weaken an individual, he has divided a couple. And if he could divide a couple, he has divided a family. And if he could divide a family, he has divided a church. And if he could successfully divide a church, then he knows that he has defaced the image of God in that church, making it weak and powerless. Continuing to read from verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, God desires the different parts to care the same for each other. Did you hear that? God desires the different parts to care the same for each other. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. Or if one part of the body is honored, all the other parts share its honor. In other words, the challenge comes to each of us individually, right here in Watford Town, to be committed and faithful to each other. To care the same for each other. 27, verse 27 says, together you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of that body. So, in other words, we cannot do without each other. Now tell me, what controls the body? A little Sabbath school moment. What controls the body? The foot? The hand? The eye? What controls the body? In the Bible, it is called the head. So here's my question. Who is the head? Multi-choice. A, the elder. B, the pastor. C, God. It is clear. The Bible tells us that it's none other than Jesus Christ. He is the head. And that head can coordinate and bring into harmony the actions of the body. You see, without the head, the body has no coordination. And it will only make meaningless gesticulations. The body needs a head as its subject, as it is subject to it, and it is totally surrendered to its control. We need Jesus. And we must be subjected to him and totally surrendered to his control. You see, the only way, my brothers and sisters, that we can become committed to the church family is to have that head coordinate mind and actions of our lives. The only way. So my prayer is this. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. So when Satan comes and causes strife and commotion to beat upon our family, or disappointment and grief and pain to trouble us, even hostility and selfishness to cause to wreck us, or the neglect of God's word and prayer to weaken us, whether he attempts to whip us with disobedience, disrespect, disregard within us, or even infidelity, division, and backbiting among us, and in our desperate effort to unleash worldliness and compromise in us, let our prayer be, bind us together, Lord. Bind us together.